Bibles and stand on your feet in honor of the word of the Lord. Turn them, if you will, to the book of 2 Kings, chapter 4. I want to commence reading at verse 18. 2 Kings chapter 4, beginning at verse 18. Recorded are these words. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, "My head, my head." And he said to a lad, "Carry him to his mother." And when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. And she went up and laid him on the bed of the man of God and shut the door upon him and went out. And she called unto her husband and said, "Send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again." And he said, "Wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath." And she said, "It shall be well." Then she saddled an ass and said to her servant, "Drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee." So she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass, when the man of God saw her afar off, that he said to Gehazi, his servant, "Behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her, and say unto her, 'Is it well with thee? Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child?'" And she answered, "It is well." And when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away, and the man of God said, "Let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord hath hid it from me, and hath not told me." Then she said, "Did I desire a son of my Lord? Did I not say, 'Do not deceive me'?" Then he said to Gehazi, "Gird up thy loins, and take my staff in thine hand, and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child." And the mother of the child said, "As the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee." And he arose and followed her. And Gehazi passed on before them and laid the staff upon the face of the child. But there was neither voice to meet him, and told him, saying, "The child is not awake." And when Elisha was come into the house, behold, the child was dead upon his bed. He went in therefore and shut the door upon them twain and prayed unto the Lord. And he went up and lay upon the child and put his eyes upon his mouth upon his mouth and his eyes upon his eyes and his hands upon his hands. And he stretched himself upon the child, and the flesh of the child waxed warm. Then he returned and walked in the house to and fro and went up and stretched himself upon him. And the child sneezed seven times. And the child opened his eyes. And he called Gehazi and said, "Call this Shunammite." So he called her. And when she was coming unto him, he said, "Take up thy son." The word says, then she went in and fell at his feet and bowed herself to the ground and took up her son and went out. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject, a mother who would not give up on her child. A mother who would not give up on her child. How fitting it is on this day that we honor mothers, and how this word honors the actions and attitude and ambitions of a mother who had determined in her own heart and mind that her child was a gift from God. It was not something that she had asked for. It was not something that she had made a request or petition to the prophet for, but it was something that she desired greatly in her heart. The revelation of the word reveals that this woman was a woman who was of great means. She was an affluent woman, a well-off woman. Life Application Bible calls her a well-to-do woman. But in spite of all that she had amassed and all that she had accomplished, the one thing that she did not have was a child. And her greatness was yet not complete because she had never reached that state or status of motherhood. Look at the word, because I want you to see what it says in verse 8. And it fell on a day that Elisha passed to Shunem, where was a great woman. Say, a great woman. This is the woman that they're talking about in the story. And she constrained him to eat bread. And so it was that as oft as he passed by, he turned in thither to eat bread. Now, one of the things that you're going to see is verse 8 places her and highlights her and spotlights her as a respected woman. Verse 9 does a little differently shed light on the fact that she is a religious woman. For the word says, and she said unto her husband, behold, now I perceive that this is an holy man of God, which passeth by us continually. Let us make a little chamber, I pray thee, on the wall, and let us set for him there a bed and a table and a stool and a candlestick. And it shall be when he cometh to us that he shall turn in thither. Verse 11 says, and it fell on a day that he came thither, and he turned into the chamber and lay there. Verse 12 says, and he said to Gehazi, his servant, call this Shunammite. And when he had called her, she stood before him. And he said unto him, say now unto her, behold, thou hast been careful for us with all this care. What is to be done for thee? What is thou bespoken for to the king or to the captain of the host? And she answered, I dwell among my own people. Now look at this, because I want you to see something. She's respected in verse 8, and she is looked upon as a religious woman in verse 9, but verse 16 is going to reveal that she is also rewarded for her respectability and her kindness and the fact that she saw a need and stepped in because she was able to do so and met it for the man of God, traveling in the front of her place, coming and going to the mountain and from the mountain to the temple. And she was situated in between them, where she knew that he got tired on his journey to the mountain, from the mountain to the temple, and said, whenever you pass by here, you can stop in and get something to eat. But after having fellowship with him and knowing his mission and knowing his ministry, God placed it upon her heart to go one step further than feeding him, but rather providing a place for him to lay his head down and rest, whether he was on his way to or from either the mountain or the ministry. And so she goes to her husband and says, I perceive that this is a holy man of God. I think we need to do a little bit better than giving him a little bread and water. Every now and then he's worn out from the journey, and he has a mission and ministry must keep focus of, and every now and then he may need to rest. So why don't we just build an extension to our house and put in him a room, and in that room a bed and a chair and a desk and a lamp. And when he gets tired and when he's fed, he can take a little nap and then go on with his journey. Well, that was no small thing, because this man recognized the huge sacrifice that this family made. He recognized that this kind of kindness is not shown every day. He recognized that they didn't have to do what they did. And this woman, who was careful enough to make sure, starting with feeding him, that her part in helping him to complete his mission was to do what she felt in her heart to do, was to assist him on his assignment. Now, he is reflecting after having eaten, and he's full, just before he goes to take his nap. He said, Gehazi, come here. He said, man, wasn't that dinner good? He said, look, I'm about to take me a nap, but tell me something. He said, I want you to call this Shunammite on up here and let me bless her. She's been such a blessing to me. And he calls her up to the room and he says, what do you want me to do for you? Now, recognizing that this man of God is connected with the king, with the captain of the army, that he's influential and he's connected to all of the powers that be. And he says, what do you want me? Do you want me to tell the king something about you, introduce you to him, bring you to a place of recognition? Is that somebody bothering you? You want me to get the army on for you? I can do that if you need it now. I mean, whatever it is you need. And the woman says, wait a minute, No, I thank you. I appreciate it. But what I've done from the heart. There are no wicked motives tied with this. You know, some people are kind to you to get something from you. Some people do something so that they can be recognized, acknowledged, and given some certain position or power or place or presence. But this woman's only desire was to be a blessing to the man of God going about the business of God. So notice here what the word says, because I want you to see the word. Verse 14 says, and he said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. Now look what he says in verse 15. And he called, he said, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. Well, this is not the first time he's called and talked to her. But after she got through telling him in verse 13 that she dwelt among her own people and she was not looking for any place or position or to become some potentate in another authority or another providence, she went on back down about her business. In other words, she's saying, you don't have to do nothing for me. I did this from my heart. Thank you very much is enough. And she went on back down. She wasn't waiting till, well, I'm just waiting till you get to what I want. No, I don't want that. No, I don't want that. But there is one thing I want. She didn't do that. Notice again, she left. He turns to Gehazi. Asks, what can we do for her? Because I got news for you. When folk really bless you, and because God's word is real and God's word is without warrant, he does what it says. Listen, she sold into his life. He wanted to be a blessing back to her, even though it was not necessarily him as an individual's job to do it back. God put upon his heart and in his spirit to be a blessing to that woman, and he had the ability to be a blessing in many arenas. So his heart would not let him just enjoy the blessings without wanting to be a blessing in return. So when she wouldn't give him an answer to what he needed, he turns to his servant, Gehazi, tell me what it is you think this woman needs. Look at what the Bible says. He said, what then is to be done for her? And Gehazi answered, verily, she hath no child, and her husband is old. Now I know she's a great woman, amassed fortunes. She's a businesswoman. She's an esteemed woman. She's an affluent woman, but she's also a woman without a child. And in the Eastern culture, no matter how esteemed you were, if you were barren, it suggested a curse was on your life. And so after this woman had been a blessing to the degree that she had been a blessing, the man of God says, she's great, but motherhood makes her greater. I know she didn't ask for a child, but she wanted a child because even that she did from the kindness of her heart. And even as her husband is now old, all hope of ever having a child had left her heart and her thought in the conscious realm. And look at what the word says. The Bible said, verse 15, call her. And when he had called her, she stood in the door. Verse 16, and he said, when he had called out this season, according to the time of life, thou shalt embrace a son. And she said, nay, my Lord, thou man of God, do not lie unto thine handmaid. Now look at this now. Her hope of having a child was all gone. Her husband is now old. She's not even in the point of thinking ever in this life with her husband that a child will ever be born of them. And so she's saying, listen, I know I've been a blessing to you, but don't play. That's a sensitive area for me. Don't lie to me. Now look at what the next verse says. It's interesting. Verse 17. It says, and the woman conceived. It almost seems like it jumped from what he said to the manifestation of it in Scripture. But look at what the word says now. And the woman conceived and bare a son at that season that Elisha had said unto her, according to the time of life. He told her this year, he said, listen, about this time next year, because you do it, from the time of conception to delivery is going to be 9 months. So I just want you to know, get ready. About this time next year, and that preparation period, he's saying, I'm going to make it happen because I'm going to petition God on your behalf to bless you with, I know that your heart truly desires. And the next year at that time, in that season, she's bringing forth a son. Now, keep in mind, she didn't ask for him. He was a gift to her. Look at what the word says, because I want you to see this. Verse 18. And when the child was grown, it fell on a day that he went out to his father to the reapers. And he said unto his father, my head, my head. And he said to a lad, carry him to his mother. Now he's out there with his father, and it's hot out there, and some suggest that it might have been a heat stroke that he took, and others suggest that it might have been one other medical problem or another. But he's out there with his father, and his father sends him to his mother. He goes to his mother. Now look at this, because I want you to see. Bible says, verse 20, and when he had taken him and brought him to his mother, he sat on her knees till noon and then died. Question is, what do you think she was doing while he was on her knees from that time she had received him till noontime? The answer comes back praying. She was a woman who prayed. But how many of you know after you pray, it doesn't stop there? Because when she finished praying, she then commenced to preparing. You see, when you understand some things, and I want you to see this, because in order for you to pray, you've got to be a woman or a man of faith. She was praying now that God would heal her son. He's on her knees, and she's recognizing that this thing could escalate to a whole nother level, that he would die. She's praying that he does not die, but he dies at noontime, at the highest point of the day, on her knees, he dies. While he dies, she's a woman of faith. See, she was praying before he died. And I got news for you. When you pray before the problem comes up, when the problem shows up, you can handle it a whole lot better. Notice the woman didn't lose her composure. She didn't start screaming and hollering. She then, after she prayed and trusted God, I don't know what the prayer might have been. It might have been something like, God, listen, I didn't ask you for this child, because I'd accepted the fact that I'd never have a child again. But later in life, you decided to show up and bless me with this child. And since this child is a gift to me, I'm not going to let the devil take him from me. He's my gift. He's my child. And I'm going to fight to the very end. Now, for some of us, the end would have been death. But she wasn't willing to give up on her child. She goes up, the word says. Listen at this. The Bible says she goes up. Verse 21, and laid him on the bed of the man of God, and shut the door upon him, and went out. Now, verse 22 says, she called unto her husband and said, send me, I pray thee, one of the young men and one of the asses, that I may run to the man of God and come again. And he said, wherefore wilt thou go to him today? It is neither new moon nor Sabbath. And she said, it shall be well. Now, you know what's interesting about the text here? That she never goes or sends messengers to say the boy is dead. She just sends the word to send a messenger or a runner or a rider and an ass. It's time to go see the man of God. Now, I'm not even sure at this point that the father even knew that the child was dead. But what I am sure of is the fact that this man trusted this woman and knew that she was a faithful and godly woman. And even though he didn't understand why she was going to him, because the custom was that you did not have an appointment or meet with or have any kind of dealings with the man of God outside of the prescribed times and the assigned times. And so he's like, how are you going to meet with him? He won't even see you. It's not even the time where he would receive guests. But the woman didn't let none of that deter her. She didn't let none of that turn her around. She said, it shall be well. Now, can I tell you, my brothers and sisters, when you learn how to sow, God gives you favor, and he does it divinely so that he might not have seen some other folk, but because of the blessing she had been in his life, even though it was not a scheduled appointment, he said, I'll make time for you. I'm trying to show you some word here today. Listen at this now. She now has faith, but she doesn't just have faith. She also has favor. Look at the word. Look at the word. The Bible says, because now she has prayed and now she's preparing to see him. Verse 24, then she saddled an ass and said to a servant, drive and go forward. Slack not thy riding for me, except I bid thee. Now she's telling him, listen, we need to get that. It is of urgent matter that I see him as soon as possible. Don't you ever slow up unless I tell you to slow up. I can handle this ride. And if I tell you slow up. But if I don't, keep on riding until we get there. Now, you know, there are some things that require haste. And you got to give up comfort sometime when you're trying to get somewhere in a hurry. She sacrificed comfort to get there in a hurry because her child was laying up on the man of God's bed dead. And she knew that he was dead to others, but he was asleep to her. Look at the text because I want you to see it. The woman was faithful. The woman experienced favor, but it wasn't until she moved forward. You see, a whole lot of us got faith, but we don't take that faith forward. In other words, we don't activate our faith. We don't step out on our faith. We don't use our faith. We don't do with our faith what it's supposed to do so it can do for us what it's supposed to do. But this woman moved forward on her faith. She'd said, she'd seen it in her spirit. If I can get to the man of God, he'll take care of this situation. Look at what the word says. Verse 25, so she went and came unto the man of God to Mount Carmel. And it came to pass when the man of God saw her afar off that he said to Gehazi, his servant, behold, yonder is that Shunammite. Run now, I pray thee, to meet her and say unto her, it is well with thee. Is it well with thy husband? Is it well with the child? And look at what her answer is. And she answered, it is well. Well, she told her husband, it shall be well. Notice her conversation. Notice her speak. Notice her faith. Her son is upstairs dead, and she's telling her husband, it shall be well. Now, by the time she tells him on the one end, it shall be well, and gets to the man of God, she changes it from it shall be well till it is. See what she was trying to say? If I could just get to him and tell him all about my troubles, I know everything will be all right. She was trying to get to him when she spoke to her husband, but she had made it to him when she spoke these words, and the reference was, now it is well. Look again, because I want you to see this. I've ministered this text, but I want you to see how this mother does not give up on her child. Look at the word. The Bible says, and when she came to the man of God to the hill, she caught him by the feet. But Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord had hid it from me and hath not told me. It almost seemed like Gehazi was being rude now. He knows that this is the woman who has shown them much, much kindness. And now she goes, she's hurting, and she falls at the feet of the man of God and holds him by the ankles, and she's frustrated and she's hurting. And Gehazi is going to throw her off of him, because when he was in the presence of God, fellowshipping with him, he was wholly into and unto God in that place of fellowship and worship, and nothing and no one was to be a part of that fellowship experience. It was between he and God. And Gehazi was saying, wait a minute, I know you got problems, but you can't touch him now. But here Elisha takes exception to this and says, let her alone. I was just talking with God, and he didn't even reveal to me what was going on in this woman's life. Now look at this now. This woman had received favor, but it wasn't just with Elisha. It was with God. The Bible says this. Again, verse 27. She caught him by the feet, but Gehazi came near to thrust her away. And the man of God said, let her alone, for her soul is vexed within her. And the Lord had hid it from me and hath not told me. Verse 28. Then she said, did I desire a son of my Lord? Tears running down her cheeks, looking at him eyeball to eyeball. Did I not say, do not deceive me? Don't lie to me. Don't play with me. Look at what verse 29 says. Then he said to Gehazi, gird up thy loins and take my staff in thine hand and go thy way. If thou meet any man, salute him not. And if any salute thee, answer him not again. And lay my staff upon the face of the child. Verse 30 says something a little different. It says, and the mother of the child said, as the Lord liveth, and as thy soul liveth, I will not leave thee.
The teaching ministry of Dr. John E. Montgomery II offers help for today and hope for tomorrow. Dr. Montgomery would like to know you are being blessed by this program. Our email address is info@greaterkingdavid.org. That's info@greaterkingdavid.org. Our mailing address is The Movement of Christ Broadcast, 911 Lobdell Boulevard. That's Lobdell Boulevard, Baton Rouge, Louisiana, 70806. Visit our website at greaterkingdavid.org, or you may call our office at 225-927-0577. That's 225-927-0577. If you've been blessed by this broadcast, Dr. Montgomery would like for you to do three things. Pray for this ministry, partner with this ministry, and tell others about this ministry. Now, we pray the Lord's richest blessings upon you and invite you to listen each Monday through Friday at this same time for the Movement of Christ broadcast.
It may be hard to believe, but people just like you are already saving money. FeedThePig.org makes it easy. Their simple savings plan teaches you how to start saving without going overboard. So you don't need to ditch the car and start rollerblading to work.
I look ridiculous.
You look ridiculous!
You don't need to start foraging wild berries.
I was skeptical, but these are actually pretty good.
You don't need to sell your organs on the black market.
Lie back. This is gonna hurt.
Yeah, that hurts.
You don't need to rent out your apartment to drifters.
I made a fire with the wood in your bedroom.
That's my dresser!
And your closet door.
You just need an internet connection. Don't get left behind. Start your personal savings plan with the tips and tools on feedthepig.org. That way, you don't need to sell all your belongings and live in a commune.
These dungarees belong to all of us now, Tom.
Brought to you by the American Institute of CPAs and the Ad Council.
visit one of Louisiana's most exciting festivals.
Alex River Fete in downtown Alexandria, April 30th through May 2nd, featuring Better Than Ezra, King George, Windstorm, Brass Queens, and Wellness Check.
And that's just the beginning.
Classic cars, barbecue, food trucks, art, and more.
Feeling fete-ish yet?
Join us in Alexandria for music, culture, food, and fun. Save the date, bring your friends, and get set for Fete. Visit alexriverfete.com or find us on Facebook. Alex River Fete, April 30th through May 2nd.
See you there.
It's gonna be all right.
This is KAYT, Gina Alexandria.
No need to worry.
The gospel is on the radio at 88.1. Call up somebody. Tell them it's going to be all right. KAYT. Got the gospel transmitting all day.